Well, please turn, if you have a Bible, to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we're just going to read the first two verses. That's 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Saviour and of Christ Jesus our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Throughout Paul's ministry, he experienced personal problems. He experienced pain and persecution. The Bible tells us that he was flogged, he was beaten, and he was imprisoned on a number of occasions by those who opposed him outside the church, and also those who badly treated him inside the church as well. So if anyone could counsel Timothy to remain faithful to God in the face of difficulties and challenges, it was certainly Paul. Paul knew and understood what it meant to remain faithful to God. And so it's with that spirit that he writes to Timothy and seeks to encourage Timothy in the difficulties and challenges that he faces. And I hope that we too will be encouraged this evening and realise that our hope is in Christ, as Paul said. Now, the church that Timothy was leading was the church in Ephesus. And if you go back into the book of Acts, you'll discover all about that church and when that church was born. We read about Paul and the church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 18 and Acts chapter 19. It was a difficult place to be a follower of Christ. The people of Ephesus were known for their worship of the goddess Artemis. This virgin goddess was linked with a fertility cult that was thriving in Ephesus. And statues were made of her. Some of the statues were vile in their nature. They were sexually orientated. And so this was very popular in the streets around Ephesus. People made a living by making souvenir miniature statues and effigies of this goddess. So when Paul directly challenged the validity of these man-made gods, it didn't make him very popular. In Acts chapter 19, verse 26, it tells us that he told these people that their man-made gods are no gods at all. So he didn't give it to them gently, he just gave it to them, socked it to them. So no wonder he was unpopular. He stood up for the truth of God. Paul also challenged, it tells us in Acts 19, their evil practices, their magic and their sorcery. And as he challenged people, they responded, the Bible tells us in Acts 19, verse 18, and openly confessed their evil ways. And when Paul was chucked out of the synagogue, it tells us that he preached in the hall of Tyrannus in Acts chapter 19, verse 10. He met with people in groups and he explained the truth of the gospel. And it tells us that this went on for 2 years. As well as a violent reaction of Paul and a rejection of his message, it was a rejection of Christ himself. So this is the kind of context into which Timothy was trying to lead a church. And if you read through the book of Ephesians, you will find out there were also challenges of immorality in the church. There was those who were practicing evil magic and sorcery, and there was difficulties and challenges. So this wasn't an easy church for a young pastor to lead, because we know from Scripture that he was young, not just in experience, but in age as well. So what was the place from which Paul was writing this letter? Well, as far as we can tell, 1 Timothy was one of the last letters that Paul wrote, together with 2 Timothy and with Titus. They're often referred to as the pastoral letters. And if you're not familiar with them, Read through them because you'll pick up all the overtones of pastoral care and love that Paul had for these two men. So they address these two men in encouraging them to face the pastoral issues and to provide care for the churches that they led. It appears that after his house detention in Rome from about AD 60 to 62, which is recorded in Acts 28, Paul was released and undertook what many people believe to be a fourth missionary journey. This probably included a trip to Spain, recorded in Romans 15, a campaign in Crete, where he left Titus, according to Titus 1, verse 5, and a brief time in Colossae, according to Philemon 22, and a visit to Ephesus, where he left Timothy. Paul then apparently travelled on through Macedonia and wrote a letter to Timothy, probably from Philippi or from Corinth in 63 to 65 AD. When Paul realised that he might not get back to see Timothy in Ephesus for some time, you can read of that in this letter in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. He put the things that he wanted to say to Timothy in a letter. And this is a letter that we're going to be studying in the coming weeks. So who is the person that Paul wrote to? What was Timothy really like? Look how Paul refers to Timothy in verse 2. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. And if you look at 2 Timothy, you'll see that he refers to Timothy as my dear son. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of the kind of relationship that Paul and Timothy must have had together. They must have had a really close bond, a close relationship together, for Paul to refer to Timothy in that way. You see, Paul was more than just a mentor to Timothy. He was like a father to Timothy. And there's probably a reason for that. We know some of the circumstances surrounding Timothy's life, and particularly his birth. His father was a Greek, so according to Jewish law, he would have been regarded, that's Timothy, because he had a Greek father, as an illegitimate. So imagine how he must have felt when Paul wrote to him and referred to him as being his one true son. Perhaps there were people in the church who were being unkind to Timothy. Perhaps they were reminding him of his ancestry. Well, here Paul puts things to right and he says to Timothy, my true son in the faith. That spiritual relationship that they had together in Christ. We know something of the background of Timothy. He was a native of Lystra, as I've said, a son of mixed marriage, a father, a Greek, and a mother, Eunice, who was a Jew, according to Acts 16, verse 1. We know of his conversion, probably during Paul's first missionary journey, which is recorded for us in Acts 14, verses 8 to 20. He was called to full-time service in the church, chosen by Paul on his second missionary journey and commended by Christians in Lystra and Iconium, according to Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. And this involved a prophetic message that was spoken over Timothy. And Paul actually reminds him of this in 1 Timothy 1, verse 18. He says, Timothy, my son, I give you instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them, you might fight the good fight. It's good to be reminded, isn't it, of those spiritual experiences that we've had in our life, of the things that we've done, so that perhaps when we're discouraged, what Timothy was, that people can remind us of the things that God has done for us, that God has done through us. We need to take time to do that with one another, to encourage one another, and to help one another. We also know about Timothy's missionary activity and experience. He accompanied Paul on his second and third journeys, according to 2 Corinthians 1 and 9, Romans 16, Acts 20, all remind us about this. And he acted as Paul's envoy and represented him in various churches. This is recorded for us in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. And we know that later in his life, Timothy experienced imprisonment, according to Hebrews 13, verse 23. We also know something of Timothy's character from the Word of God. I love how the Word of God gives us a real picture of who people actually are. We know that he was affectionate, 2 Timothy 1, verse 4. We know that he was loyal, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 10. And Philippians 2, verse 19, where Paul says, I have no one like him. He was timid, according to 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. He was even easily embarrassed, according to 2 Timothy 1, verse 8. And he was susceptible to youthful temptations, 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. So although these are people recorded in the scriptures, they sound a bit like you and me, don't they? They're just ordinary people. And Paul worked with and used Timothy often. Paul sent Timothy to carry out important strategic work on his behalf. Timothy learned from Paul, and he put into practice what he saw Paul doing. Timothy benefited from Paul's support and help and encouragement during the vulnerable times in his life. Look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 23, where Paul even encourages him and helps him when he's going through a time of illness. Timothy also benefited from encouragement of Paul when he was fearful. So we can discover all of these things for Scripture, which give us an insight, a window into Timothy's character, into his mind, and the type of behavior that was demonstrated through the stories recorded in Scripture. This relationship between these two men was a father and son relationship. 1 Corinthians 4, 17. My son, whom I love. Philippians 2, verse 22. A son with his father. A relationship full of affection and love. So what was the purpose of this letter? Why did Paul write this letter? Well, we'll discover in the coming weeks why he wrote this letter. We know that there were false teachers in the church, and he encouraged Timothy to have the courage to challenge these false teachers with the truth about God. So next week, we'll be thinking about warning against false teachers. Then we'll be thinking about the wonderful grace of God and how Paul was encouraging Timothy about his own conversion and experience and his life and how God had done the same for him. We'll be thinking about what worship looks like in the local church, about what leadership looks like in the local church, about what walking with God looks like and the kind of behaviours and attitudes and actions that should be demonstrated in our lives. We'll also be thinking of those who are worthy of honour and respect and help in our church. And then finally, we'll be thinking about what it looks like to live a life of contentment. But in these opening verses, Paul provides hope for Timothy. Look at verse 3. I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus. I wonder why Paul repeated that to Timothy. I wonder if Timothy was thinking, you know what? I've had enough of this church. I'm getting out here. I think all of us know what that feels like, particularly those of us who are church leaders. So what did Paul provide? How did Paul encourage Timothy to remain faithful to God and to remain, to stay in Ephesus? Well, in the first two verses, we find a number of things through which Paul encouraged Timothy. First of all, he encouraged Timothy through the authority of God's word. Now remember, Paul was like a father to Timothy. It was a beautiful, loving relationship. But notice how he introduces himself in this letter to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ. It seems very formal, doesn't it, for such a close relationship. Why did Paul do that? Because he wanted Timothy to remember that his words, that's Paul's words, carried apostolic authority. They were the words of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. So Paul was reminding Timothy about the authority of God's word, and how in the face of the difficulties and the persecution and the false teachers, that he was to stand upon the word of God, because it carries authority. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it reminds us that the word of God is beneficial, that it's God-inspired. It tells us what is right through teaching, what is not right through rebuking, how to get right through correcting, and how to stay right through training in righteousness. Remember this, Timothy, for your own life and for the church. The second encouragement that Paul gave to Timothy was to remind him of the provision of God's salvation. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command, look what it says, of God, our Saviour. You know, this is a phrase or a title that is not often used in the New Testament. It's used here in the pastoral epistles. Its roots are in Old Testament truth, and Timothy ought to have known this. Psalm 18, Psalm 25, Psalm 27, Micah 7, Habakkuk 3, all remind us of the God of salvation. So why did Paul use this particular phrase? Because he wanted Timothy, and he wants us to understand, that by his very nature, God is a saving God. The source of our salvation is God. He planned it. He planned it. But of course, it was fulfilled through Christ, the Son of God. We remembered that last week. David, I'm sure, reminded you morning and evening of the wonder of the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. Remember, Timothy, God's salvation. The third thing that he encouraged Timothy was with the provision of certain hope. Notice what he says, of God our Saviour and of Christ Jesus our hope. It is Christ Jesus who is our hope. And it's interesting, in 2 Timothy and also in Titus, in the opening remarks, he reminds Timothy and Titus of the hope. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he talks about the promise of life, which is speaking of hope, of eternal life. And in Titus, he talks about how our faith and knowledge rest on the hope of eternal life. Let me read it to you, because the words in Titus are powerful. This is what it says. A faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Wow. The provision of certain hope. And this first letter of Timothy, at the front, in the center, and at the end, is full of hope. I've read that verse which reminds us that Christ Jesus is our hope. But look at chapter 4, verse 10. Verse 9 says, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labour and strive. Now hear it this, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, and especially of those who believe. And then he ends with the same promise. Verse 17 of chapter 6. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. This is a book of hope, brothers and sisters. We have to put our hope in Christ. Colossians 1, verse 7, let me read you that wonderful verse which reminds us again of the truth that Paul refers to here in chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he also encourages him by reminding him of the provision of Christian family, relationship, and community to Timothy, my true son in the faith. We are brothers and sisters together if we've put our faith and trust in Christ. We have been provided with a family, with fellowship, with community. This must have meant a great deal to Timothy, because we know that there was disunity in the church that he was trying to lead. And so God reminds him of the fellowship that he has in church, particularly with Paul. That's something to be guarded. It's something really precious, brothers and sisters. Not forgetting or neglecting one another, or indeed meeting with one another, as some are in the habit of doing, it says in Hebrews 10. But rather giving priority to the church, to the relationship that we have with one another. And all the more as we look towards Jesus coming again. You know, sometimes when we get up on a Sunday morning, Fiona Morrison put a beautiful thing up in Facebook this afternoon, and it went something like this. Fiona, as you know, had treatment for cancer last year. It's been a difficult and challenging time for her, and she said, I woke up this morning, I felt absolutely exhausted, I don't feel well, I've put on weight because of my treatment, I just did not feel I wanted to go to church, I couldn't be bothered. I could think of so many things that I could do, yet that is the very time that I need to get up, get out, and go to church and be with God's people. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. Brothers and sisters, we have the provision of the church, family, relationship, and community. Let's not take it for granted. And then finally, we see the provision of grace, mercy, and peace. It's interesting, isn't it, that it's the three that Paul uses here. Often in his letters, it's grace and peace, but here it's grace, mercy, and peace. Grace, John Stott says, God's kindness to the guilty and the undeserving. Mercy, God's pity on the wretched who cannot save themselves, and peace, God's reconciliation of those who were previously alienated from him and from one another, but who are brought together in Christ. Praise God. And notice that grace, mercy, and peace are from God the Father and Jesus our Lord. It is these truths that would give Timothy the strength and power, the staying power, to keep going in Ephesus. Despite his timidity, despite his shyness, despite his questionable health, his struggles with youthful temptations, these truths would be crucial to Timothy's staying power. A word of hope for Timothy, and a word and hope and hope for you and for me this evening. What do you need staying power for? A difficult marriage? Challenging children and difficult parenting? A difficult workplace? Illness? Whatever it might be, may we know this hope that Paul spoke to about Timothy this evening.